Welcome to episode 66 of the Thrash Report. This is part two of It's Go Time with Extinction AD.
And you got another podcast that you're into, Rick. Is that just you, the Slashers, Thrashers, and Road to WrestleMania?
That is my show. I stopped doing it at the end of August because I'd even brought it down from every week to every other week. But towards the end of August, when the band really, really started, you know, picking up again, we had started playing shows again. We knew that the Unique Leader deal was in place and we're about to go on tour. There just really wasn't enough time anymore because, dude, and you guys know, doing a podcast, like, everything about it is like 10 times more work than it seems. It's not just sitting around and fucking around with your friend for an hour and then just putting it on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, especially with that show. So I started doing that show. I'll try not to ramble. I'll make a long story short here. I started doing that show when the pandemic hit because I knew I wasn't going to be calling my friends because I hate using the fucking phone. And I wasn't going to be hanging out with anybody because everybody was afraid to die. So I was like, I'll do this show. You know, I already do podcasting aside from this anyway. And it'll give me an excuse to bullshit with one of my friends once a week. So I was like, ah, this would be a great idea. We'll talk about a movie and we'll talk about a wrestling show. We'll talk about an album. You know, shit I watch and listen to anyway, but I'll let them pick it. And then it turned into, I don't want to say pain in the ass, but it's a lot of fucking work, man. Watching a movie, which is a normal thing for regular people, you know, when you're already busy doing other shit and then you're watching a movie, not just for your own enjoyment, but to discuss it and take notes on it and all this shit. And then same thing with an album. And then same thing with a wrestling show, especially a lot of the people I was talking to weren't even wrestling fans. So I have to go deep enough to talk about it, but not deep enough that I'm explaining, you know, like, hey, wasn't it crazy how they transitioned from this wrist lock into a headlock? I don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah. The episodes I was on, the wrestling parts were just fucking nonsense. I know nothing. I know fucking nothing.
That makes it more fun. And then the editing process, because I'm a fucking psycho, so I have to edit a podcast, not like you edit a podcast, but like you're editing a vocal track and a guitar track and all this shit. So instead of it being like, hey, I put out this hour-long podcast once a week, being like, well, I bullshitted with a friend for an hour, it turned into a third full-time job. So it got to, and you know, my fucking fiance hated it because it's like, hey, when are we going to hang out? Like, well, never, because I'm writing, recording, and editing an album, and I'm writing and recording and editing a podcast, and I also, you know, I work a day job, and then I work an evening job, like, dude. So it was so much fun while it lasted, and I was bummed out when I had to make it from 1 week to two every other week, and then I was like, fuck, I need to take a break, and I'll get back to it, and I was bummed out, and now I'm not bummed out. Now I'm like, you know what? It was really fun. All those shows exist. Some of them are still on the internet because I stopped paying for my hosting site. But I have them and it served its purpose. I got to fuck around with my friends during the pandemic. But now, you know, I have an hour and a half to 2 hours a day that aren't filled with obligations.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the ones with all four of you talking about when you did the best thrash metal album tournament.
Dude, and those were a lot of fun. And in all actuality, those were, in some ways, the least amount of work. So you know what? You bring that up. What I should do is I should upload those to our YouTube channel.
Yeah. We're really mean to each other on those ones.
And we're really mean to each other in real life all the time. So. Yeah. But that was fun. That was fun. We spent two episodes, so it was about 3 hours in full, just doing a tournament of our favorite thrash metal albums ever. And in my opinion, I think the wrong album won, even though I voted for that album.
Don't say it. Don't spoil it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, don't say it.
What was number 13?
It was either...
I think the right album won.
Megadeth 13 or Black Sabbath 13. You know what? We could spoil it. It's okay. Tom, talk about what won.
Well, no, you talk about what why you think the loser should have won.
Oh, here because we go.
We're gonna get into it right now.
Oh, okay, let's okay. So it was, I think, if
we both just postured up for this.
Yeah, right. If memory serves, it was 32 albums.
So 32 albums, yes.
Yes, it was four brackets with 8 albums each. So you guys could math the fuck that along. And the final, so some albums that should have went further didn't go further because they got matched up with like top tier competition right away. But the finals was Slayer, Reign and Blood, and Megadeth, Rust in Peace. So before we go, Chris, what do you think is the...
Oh, God.
Or, you know, I should...
Now, keep in mind, like, you're already dealing with the fact that, like, Injustice for All got knocked out. Far Beyond Driven got knocked out. Ugly Kid Joe got knocked out. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of bangers got knocked out when they shouldn't have.
But, I mean, what... I mean, it's kind of like... I mean, Jim and I have done very similar type things. And it's like, well, what are the criteria we're judging this on?
Okay, so that was a constant, and like I said, I will put this on our YouTube channel, and everybody can go back and hopefully everyone can go back and listen to it.
Yeah, because totally.
I think it's really fucking enjoyable. What it really came down to, because there was five of us doing this tournament, are we basing it on, well, this is the greatest ever, the best ever, the most this, that, the other thing, or what's the easiest way to do this? What is your favorite? So yeah. In all actuality, we promoted it as the greatest thrash metal of all time album tournament, where it actually was Extinction AD's favorite thrash metal album, and you know, within a tournament. So Chris, Reign and Blood, Rust in Peace, which one do you like better at this moment in time?
I would say Rust in Peace.
Jim.
I would say Reign and Blood, because when it's over, there's still time to listen to Rust in Peace.
You cheat.
That's actually a fair answer. I like that.
Yeah. I'm glad.
I think if it was different criteria, like, I mean, I like Rust in Peace for all the, you know, all the technical shit and just, you know, Megadeth as a band, right, at that time. But then like Slayer, Reign and Blood, I mean, they kind of were over the top. You know what I mean? It was like a different style, a different. Yeah, I don't know.
It was really hard not to base it off of certain criteria too, because like we wanted to stay true to like, if that's what it is to you, you know, if that's your favorite, then you've got to go with it. But like you said, if you went with Slayer, well, technically, if you followed certain guidelines, that's a better thrash record, yeah. I guess, you know?
I think Slayer, it's kind of, not to say sloppy, but it's just, you know, it's not as...
It's loose.
Yeah, loose. There you go. Good word. Yep.
And you're talking about how you include or not include albums, and you've discussed it a lot about Pantera. Are they thrash? And I'm very glad there was nobody around me when the bracket came up, Far Beyond Driven versus And Justice for All. I just screamed like, no!
Dude,
so we talked about it on the show. One. Yeah, we talked about it on the show, and it's yeah, some of those are just impossible decisions, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, that was definitely the toughest one. Those are my two favorite records of all time. So that was a hard one.
Right on. Yeah. Right on.
There That's was awesome. Very few matchups that weren't difficult, but the easiest way was, you know, like I kept reiterating, you know, we're not Rolling Stone, you know, we're not writing Kerrang's most important, you know, anything, because all those articles are, you know, kind of full, in my opinion, full of shit and just writing the same stuff over and over again anyway. It was like, you know, we could kind of use some of that criteria to come up with our initial list, which we did. And then there were some things that were, you know, a little off kilter that only one person offered to put into the tournament. But when it came down to it, it was like, just go with your gut and what you like the most. And where we wound up, I think it was a proper finals. But I had, you know, I had quite a bit of regret that like lingered with me for like the whole entire other one, our second episode came out. But Tom, you do the reveal and you justify why you still stand with it.
Oh, well, I think like, I think that like the, am I confusing the final right now?
It was Rust in Peace versus Rain in Blood.
Yeah. Oh, did we not already reveal that?
No, we didn't reveal the winner though.
Oh, well, Rust in Peace was the winner.
Okay.
I thought we already, I thought I was already talking if that happened.
no, I think it's because I said that was my favorite. I think that's why.
Right. Okay. yeah, which I was fine with, but again, like I think we all assumed, and I think especially Extinction AD assumed that it was going to be a Justice for All in the end.
Yeah.
Because how would the five of us not unanimously like agree with that? But it all worked on the bracket system, so it was dumb. So basically the whole thing is fucking dumb.
The finals are very proper and historically
agreed, you know, yeah.
Dude, for a large chunk of my life, Rust in Peace was, I hate to even say, my second favorite album. It was almost like, you know, Injustice for All was 1A and Rust in Peace was 1B. And then as time got on, you know, I was, you know, okay, well, Injustice for All is definitely my number one. Rust in Peace is definitely my number two. But as the tournament was going on, I was really questioning. And the day after we were, or the day the episode was released, I re-listened to it while I was at work. And I was like, yo, I'm not really sure how I feel about that. Then I listened to Rain in Blood and Rust in Peace back to back. And I said, yo, we made the wrong decision. Rain in Blood should have won. And not only just, I think, but at that moment in time, and it's hard to say because it's almost a year ago now, but at that moment in time, for the next week, 2 weeks, I was straight up like, hey, I changed my mind after all this time. I like Rain in Blood more than I like Rust in Peace. But that could change within a day. But
wow, I'm gonna, you know, now I'm gonna have to go listen. I'm gonna have to go listen to those two back to back.
But like you said, they're so totally different, and both those albums are just fucking perfect records for what they are.
Yep.
They both have singers that, you know, should be really cool, and as time goes on, you realize that they're kind of both morons. Dude, why is everybody a moron? What is
Dude, everybody's so stupid.
I wanted to
I was just
going to
dissect both bands, but I won't even go down that road.
Dude, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen now that Kerry King came out and was like, do we hang it up too early? Like,
Who cares what that guy says?
Is he going to do, I mean, we know that, I mean, it'd be just asinine for Slayer to get back together. I mean, they made such a big deal about them ending it, right?
Yeah, but dude.
Is Kerry going to go on and do his own thing now or what?
Well, he's even announced he has a new band with Bo Staff and Gary.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Who's playing bass and or singing. Dude, I feel like somebody in our group chat said, oh, and this guy's playing bass, but I don't remember.
And it wasn't me, but whoever said it talked about Phil from Pantera singing as well.
Oh, Tom, you're playing bass?
I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play bass with my good friend, Kerry King.
Dude, you know who's Kerry, like, who's a good friend? You know who Kerry King is a good friend of?
No, who's that?
Nobody.
Nobody.
He is nobody's good friend.
Yeah.
We had very few interactions with him. And, you know, let's be honest, we're both fucking nobodies. But, that shouldn't matter in the way that you interact with people. And, you know, Kerry King's attitude is Kerry King's attitude. And it's both a bummer and also not a bummer. Cause of course he's going to
have not surprising,
exactly,
not disappointing. Like, oh, okay. In real life, you're that too. Cool.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's like, you don't got to be just pissed off all the time.
And dude, you know what? Pissed off all the time. Fine.
Yeah, that's us. That's us.
But being,
that's our thing.
Being condescending to the point of whininess, yo, don't fucking whine. And I'm talking to everybody. Nobody wants to hear your whining, complaining, bitching, and moaning boo fucking who. Stop crying, man. And if you have to complain about something, make sure it's funny. Because then it's okay to complain if there's humor in it. Otherwise, yo, fucking wrap it up, man. Don't cry that, you know, we got into an elevator with you.
Or didn't let you get into our... We didn't let him get in our elevator. Let's be honest.
Wait a minute.
And he got mad at us.
Back up this story. What now? You didn't let... you didn't let Kerry get on the elevator and now he's pissed at you?
So we basically, he was waiting for an elevator. And we were also waiting for elevators, but there's elevators all over the fucking whole house, okay, Sensei? It's fucking all over the place. There's four elevators, and the one closer to us opens. He might have been waiting first, but who cares? So our elevator opens up, we fucking go in, and he, like, pouts and goes, I guess you guys are going in. And we were like, yeah, and the fucking thing closes. And it goes up a little bit. And then it comes back down and it opens up and Kerry King's still standing there pouting. So Gary Holt is like, I don't fucking care. I'll ride with you guys. He gets in and the doors close and Kerry goes, I'll remember that. And the doors close and they went up and we went upstairs.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. It's like,
hey man, you still have all those tribal tattoos. You're not going to get in front of us if we don't want you to. Fucking like, oh, wow. I don't give a shit. You too, Scotty, you little wimp. I'm sick of all those guys.
Oh,
check out our fucking new EP. November 1st.
Yo, this is the thing with playing either these one-off festivals or even these touring festivals with these bigger bands. You know, like we did two touring festivals with Anthrax and we did the one touring festival with Slayer, both in Australia, where they treat every band way better than they deserve to be treated. So everybody is in a good mood and there's always tons of bands around and everyone's cool to each other. And there's always like totally different types of bands hanging out and meeting. And it's sick. That touring festival environment is rad. It's like guitar music fantasy camp. We're like, oh hey, you know, like one day we're hanging out with Anti-Flag, where we became friends with Anti-Flag and remain friends with them, to fucking you wind up in a conversation hanging out at the pool that one time when we were with two guys from Madball and Duff from Guns N' Roses. And like, hey, we're just hanging out bullshitting. Like, that's the extent of these things. So there's no reason for anyone to be pouty and have an attitude. And the thing is, I get it in all walks of life, and especially as a musician. Sometimes you have a bad day and, you know, everybody, like, we want to be really cool and we're psyched to go see Anthrax. And, you know, for one reason or another, Scotty is in a bad mood and he's really snippy and whiny. And it's kind of like, now do we attach that interaction to how we view Scott Ian forever? Like, well, it's kind of crappy.
Right. Not the band.
But on the other hand, like, well, maybe someone's having a bad day. You know, I mean, I'm probably shitty to everybody at my job all the time because, you know, every day that I'm alive is a bad day. Now, this story with Kerry King is very funny, and I'm happy to attach that attitude with Kerry King. But then there's also thousands of interviews and videos of Kerry King being condescending and talking down to people and having this, like, not even fun, playful attitude of shittiness, like just straight up like, yo, you're not just mad, you're whining about everything.
You're sad.
You're sad. And you also were in a band that refused over the past 30 years to take any young bands out on tour. So you know what? I can be bitter to you forever. Now, Scott, Ian, Tom, and I have different points of view on, because I want to believe that Scott, Ian, in the few interactions I had with him and that we had with him, where he was also kind of big shoddy and condescending, that it was happenstance of the situation. And he really is the guy in all the interviews and videos that I watch where he's just like fun loving, happy to be there, appreciative of any level he's at. So that's where we differ, because I want to believe Scott Ian is like the version of me that kind of made it, and not like the pathetic guy who's still trying. But Tom and I differ on this point of view.
I think that you also have a much deeper appreciation for his band than I do.
Oh, I love
and
it.
I think that oh,
they're,
definitely
they're my,
puts
they're my favorite. Yeah.
You have blinders on,
yep.
No matter what, because you like the band way more than I do. I'm not, obviously I like the band, but I don't have tolerance for a grown-up treating another grown-up like they're a little kid.
Yeah. I mean, I got tons of like autographed Anthrax.
Unless you want to, you know.
Anthrax shit. I mean, he's one of my, I mean, he's really, I mean, Scott Ian, no, seriously. But Scott Ian is like one of the people, that's why I played guitar, right? I mean, it was like, that was, anyway, so I'm a huge, huge Scott Ian fan, huge Anthrax fan. But I guess I've kind of come to terms with the fact that he may be a little arrogant. You know?
It's funny too, because I would say I'm even also a fan. I am a fan of the man. Person, like I am a fan of him and his music and his band and what he's done. But
well, for speaking about arrogance, I'm the reason he has a bald head and a goatee.
Exactly.
You want to know?
My friend Ryan in the chat knows a story of another Australia interaction. So let me tell this story.
Yeah.
One time we're in Australia, not on a festival tour, but just on another tour, and Korn is playing in the same area as us every night. They're playing in a larger venue.
Tom's already laughing.
And we're playing in the smaller venues. So, you know, that's funny. So one time we're in the same, we're about to have the same flight, because you got to fly around Australia because it's a large country with only a handful of big cities. So we're on the same flight, we're in the same airport. And one of our friends who's in one of the other bands, Jeremy from Comeback Kid, is like, yo, should I go over and ask him for a picture? Which is like funny. Obviously, he doesn't fucking care about having a picture. It's like, it's just funny because Jonathan Davis, you know, he makes all those sounds into that motorcycle microphone.
His motorcycle as a mic.
So he goes up to him. He's like, oh, hey, man, like I'm from Canada. I'm also touring in Australia. Isn't that cool? These guys like, or Jonathan David's like, oh yeah, cool, man. So he's like, hey, can I get a picture? And he's like, oh no, I don't do pictures. So he's like, oh, okay. So he walks away and he tells the story. We're like, all right, Jonathan Davis is too cool to take pictures. So we wind up on the flight together, and Korn is in like the first couple of rows. So we go to our, you know, rows. There's four bands of us on this commercial flight, plus Korn and all their crew. So then Sam from Architects, who was also on the tour, goes, yo, wouldn't it be funny if I yelled, are you ready, in the Korn voice, like as we're about to take off? And we're like, dude, that is very funny. Ha ha, that's the end of it. He's like, no, I'm going to do it. And we're like, yo, I dare you to fucking really do it. He's like, I can do it. So we're taxiing for what feels like an hour. And the anticipation of him doing this is building up. And we're laughing like fucking children in second grade in the library when they're like, don't you make any sound in the library. So it's like even harder to not laugh. And I'm sitting next to him.
Afraid of Johnny Davis from Korn is funny.
It's just the anticipation of knowing that something ridiculous is about to happen. And I'm sitting next to Andrew from Comeback Kid, and he grabs my hand on the, you know, the shared armrest. And he goes, I'm already embarrassed and nothing has happened. and I'm cringing inside. I can't take it. And I'm just fucking dying inside because I don't want to let it out that like, hey, something dumb is about to happen. So finally, the plane starts going, and then, you know, they, not what do they hit the gas? They hit that level or whatever. They fucking Tom Cruise the
turbine.
And we're going. And just as we're about to get that first wheel into the sky in perfect imitation, Sam does the whole thing and he screams, "Are you ready?" And the fucking plane takes off and he just belts it out and everybody on the plane fucking loses their goddamn mind. Because, like I said, the anticipation is built up for so long. And it was so goddamn funny. And if memory serves, it's hard to say like what we actually made up and what I'm misremembering. If memory serves, as the laughter was dying down, just, you know, without doing anything else, if anyone watching the fucking video can see, Jonathan Davis just puts up his arm like this. Which, to me, unless I'm making that up, I'm pretty sure
that's so much better than Kerry King going, "I'll remember that."
Yeah. It was like, dude, you know, acknowledge it and come in on the joke, and he did, and you know, we all fucking, it was a lot of laughs.
We didn't see the top of your hand. Did he give a thumbs up or something, or flip him off?
No, he just raised his hand up. Gotcha. It was like this, only he didn't have a fucking skeleton face on his head.
I thought you were going to say all this anticipation, and then all of a sudden he's about to scream it, and then Jonathan Davis himself did it.
How cool about it, man.
Dude, that would have been so much better. But when that was the thing.
Fieldy's like, every time, John, jeez.
We were thinking like, yo, imagine he like fucking flips out and like cries about it. But hey, so you heard it here first. Jonathan Davis cries less than Kerry King, despite Jonathan Davis crying on compact disc.
You realize that that title in the YouTube clip is going to get tons of clicks. Hey, so, you know, I was going to say one, I don't know if I've mentioned the Dee Snider story on this, on the podcast, Jim, but like, I'm a huge Dee Snider fan. That was like when I was 12 years old, my first rock band, right, ever was Dee Snider. I'm like, I saw my MTV and I'm like, they're like dudes, but they look like chicks. What's happening? But it changed my life, right? I'm a huge Dee Snider fan. He was here solo, right, during one of the Twisted Sister breaks. And it was a small club, a few hundred people. And afterwards, me and a bunch of other fans go out to the back door. There's like, I don't know, 20 of us hanging out, waiting for him to come out. And I got my Sharpie and shit, and I'm like ready to get an autograph or something, right? And after we waited for like a half hour, somebody cracks the door open and says, "Sorry, D's already gone. He already left." And we're like, man. So then we all kind of disperse. There's a handful of us just having a conversation. And then like a town car drives down to like a different door and he comes out and gets in and drives off. What a prick. Come on. Because he didn't want to talk to a couple fans. Come on. Anyway.
Dude, and I, you know, I really, really understand both sides of that. And not that I've ever been on any side of that because, you know, nobody gives a fuck about us writing on their shit. But I think I try at least to understand, especially once I started working in production as well as touring. There's so many different factors where like, oh, you just played a show and, you know, maybe you're just having a bad day. Maybe after the show, your throat really feels like shit. Maybe you drank a little too much caffeine and you feel kind of pukey after the show.
And might have been the Subway tuna melt.
Oh.
Never. That would never make you feel like that.
Miraculously, somehow.
But so I try to give people the benefit of the doubt when you have a one-off interaction and they come across snippy, or you're waiting and, oh, no, they're, you know, whether or not they told you, you know, he doesn't fucking feel like it today. that there might be some reason.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
I think you got to gauge it on the person too.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. You know, if Kerry King is shitty, you're like, well, hey, he's historically shitty.
Yeah. Also, like, if Dee Snider doesn't want to sign an autograph, it's probably because he's done 8 million. You know, yeah. Like,
I mean,
yeah.
I will say, since then, I have met him and he's been cool and I got an autograph. Yeah. So,
well, you know what?
If I didn't want to sign someone's shit, that's different. Like, oh, you don't want to do your third autograph of 2021. Like, what? That's like when Lips snubbed me, I was like,
yeah,
man, from Anvil? Yeah. Yeah, what? Dude.
No way.
Yeah, I asked him for a picture. We played a show with one of our other bands with Anvil. And I was like, hey, Lips. I was like, guys, I'm going to go get a picture with Lips. I think I even wrote on the internet, like, going to take a picture with Lips later, guys. And it was after they played. So, you know, he had nowhere to fucking go. But I was like, hey, Lips, can I get a picture with you, man? And he like totally fucking snubbed me. And he's like, oh, no, I'm busy. And I was
that's exactly how he sounded.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like total drama queen. He
was like, oh, no, I'm kind of busy. First of all.
Dude, that kind of look. It was kind of like a Paul Rubens. You kind of look like a peewee there. It was like.
Here we go, because I'm about to tear Lips apart too now, I guess. But
that sounded bad. Not that kind of podcast, guys.
He was wrapping up his like fucking Radio Shack guitar cables. Like, dude, like his gear was a disaster and he was acting like he had some special way he had to do it. It's like, you're just throwing shit in a box. Just take a picture with me. Like, you have like a cardboard box and a suitcase. You don't even have a road case for your shit. Whatever. So like, I was like, really? And he was like, maybe later. And I was just like,
oh my God.
I was just like, yo, you guys, you know, you couldn't even sell out the bathroom here. Like, you could take a minute, like, help me take a picture with you.
That is hilarious. Not to mention the band we were playing in at the time called American Ice Age. We were never, never a big deal. But I also worked at the venue where the show was. So we were playing the show because, you know, it was a good fit. And we thought we could help out the show a little bit because the show was not selling well. And because I worked at the venue, you know, my boss even told me, hey, you know what? We're going to paper the show. Anybody that you can get, you know, to the show, it will cost them exactly $0.00. So we made sure every person that we, you know, knew that might may have been interested showed up. So the majority of the people they played in front of were our friends and our friend friends.
Yeah.
That, you know, it came to hang out for the night and enjoy American Ice Age and, you know, enjoy Anvil. And,
that's crazy.
We're doing a lot of shit talking, but on the other hand, it's okay for many reasons. First off, we're fucking telling the truth. And secondly, we have a combined age of what, 81?
Yeah.
And so we would physically decimate not just the people we're talking about, but all of their band members at the same time also. So we nothing to fear.
So I'm daredevil. So with this, again, first of all, this has been great. I mean, but before we start wrapping up, what has been, we talked about some of those people that are babies and that pilot. what's someone that has been super humble, totally cool, down to earth? Like, you know, what's that one person that stands out that you get to hang with?
Duff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The amount of hanging out and how affable he was and lack of pretense for the ratio to how he is legitimately one of the most important people in like rock music is.
Oh, look at that.
There he is.
It's astounding. He was just regular dude on this tour hanging out. Dude, if I remember correctly, Tom, you could help me out. I think you and I had spoken to Mitz from Madball and said, hey, we'll go hang out at the pool. And we were on our way down there.
We bumped into him on the way down. Yeah. We
bumped into Duff. He was going one way on the elevator. We were going the other way. And he's like, hey, how you guys doing? Yada, yada. What are you up to today? This, that, and the other thing. And he's like, oh, I was just walking around. I watched, you know, some kids play baseball and got some lunch, whatever. And we're like, oh, we're going down to the pool. He's like, cool, I'll get my suit and I'll meet you down there.
What?
I may be misremembering some of this, but the general gist was that. And we're like, oh, that's funny. So we go down to the pool and then we met up with Hoya from Madball. So it's the two of us and the two guys from Madball. And then Duff comes in his fucking bathing suit. And now it's the five of us hanging out at the pool. And I think Scuzz came with us also and kind of flopped around for some attention. And that was it. There was nothing weird about it. And it wasn't like anybody telling hero stories or holding court. It was five dudes hanging out because, like, oh, we're all different levels of touring musicians. And even Duff, I'm sure, everyone's being paid way too much money and being treated way too good than they should be on this tour because the Soundwave tours were just, you know, AJ, who did those tours, was unbelievably generous in every sense of the word. And it was like, dude, this guy, it's almost like, wait, this is the Duff?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I think I had just read his book like a couple weeks before that because I knew he was going to be on the tour.
Oh, wow.
Like, fully geared up. And then, like, the coolest dude on the tour, you know?
Wow.
Really chill dude.
You're probably the last person out of the pool. Like, I can't get out yet.
Yeah, well, we went up, me and him went up together, so.
But I mean, dude, that was cool. And then, you know, for this band specifically, Matt Heafy from Trivium.
Yeah.
Big favorite of ours.
Yeah. For no reason at all. There's nothing in it for him. Has been so helpful and complimentary to this band.
That's great.
Just because, like, hey, you guys are nice guys, and I think your band is cool. So, like, I'm going to let the internet know that your new single dropped. Fucking why? Like, because why not? Which is like, oh, you know what? I don't know why everybody can't be like that, which is, you know, we're not in a position that we're, you know, we're really could bring anybody up. You know, we're trying to get up ourselves. But it doesn't hurt us any to, like, hey, there's a band that may be bigger than us or way smaller than us or whatever the fuck how you want to quantify mm-hmm. it. If we're digging them, hey, you know what? I'm going to let the internet know that we're digging this band because
totally.
Sharing music is fun. And that even is what turned into doing that weekly playlist that we do. Like, mm-hmm. hey, let's just let people know what we're listening to and, you know, what's helping us out at the gym because it's a lot of fun. And we've actually were able to spread the word on newer bands and older bands that we like, as well as discover a lot of bands that we didn't know about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And then in turn become friends with these bands also. And that's the way shit should be, especially now when there's such a saturation in all genres of music. So bands that are like-minded should really, you know, bring each other up and spread the word. Like, dude, it doesn't detract from you mm-hmm. to shed light on someone else.
Totally.
Never. And if you think that way, you're a fucking defeatist loser. You know, and that's something I've learned through professional wrestling, where that's been the way of the old guard of wrestlers. Like, they don't want to bring up younger talent because they're afraid of losing their spot. Now, we're in music, we're not in wrestling, so it doesn't exactly, you know, work like that. But at the same time, some bands, you know, for example, all the bigger thrash bands from the 80s and the 90s that may or may not still be playing never wanted to help out the younger generation. So that means, in my opinion, we need to help each other out that much more. Because Slayer doesn't play anymore. The whole last, what, you know, like I said before, two decades, they never fucking brought out younger bands. I love all these Anthrax, Testament, Exodus, Death Angel, you know, even Flotsam and Jetsam. I love all these bands. These bands only play with each other. You know, I don't want to give Dave Mustaine personally any credence because he says the dumbest shit in the world, despite playing the coolest shit. Megadeth is one of the only of those large top tier thrash metal bands that consistently throughout their career would bring out younger bands. Like, dude, it would not have hurt Slayer to bring out at least one younger band on their farewell tour. They brought out like fucking six other bands. Fuck it. Bring out a seventh band. Help out a band like Grave Ripper. Or help out a band like Wraith. Like, what are you doing? Like, great that they brought out Testament. Great that they brought out Carcass. Those bands are going to flourish with or without being a part of Slayer's last tour. But then a band like Testament, one of my favorite bands, one of the most influential bands to Extinction AD. Chuck Billy, I think, is, you know, as of right now, and since Dio passed, the best singer in metal. Eric Peterson, most underrated guitar player in metal.
Totally.
Exodus. People will, and I'll understand, even if I don't agree for other reasons, not for their greatness. Exodus could have been one of the big four if you throw out one of the other, whatever. Anthrax is one of those bands. Why aren't these bands bringing out younger bands? What are these younger, how is this genre of music going to survive if it doesn't get the rub from these other big bands? And granted, there is a scene, you know, it's not as big as even the hardcore scene, but there is a thrash metal scene, but it needs help. And there is a lot of people whose their last metal show at all, let alone thrash metal, might have been Slayer's last show. Because kind of their involvement is living and dying with that. Slayer's gone, who am I going to see now? You know, I'm not going to see Metallica anymore. You know, tickets are $1,000. You know, what are their options now? Going to see Anthrax? If you go to see Anthrax, you're gonna see some combination of Testament, Overkill, Exodus, Death Angel. How many more times can you see the same show with different? And dude, I will go to that show every time it comes to New York.
Yep. Go on tour with Scott Ian any day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, and I don't even want to put us in there because I'm not saying it for us. I'm saying it for the music. But hey, Scott Ian, why don't you just take Extinction AD on tour? You're allowed. We're both from New York. Our guitar player's best friend is your guitar tech. Let's fucking do it, man.
Oh, wow.
It's all true, man.
This is great. Guys, I got to tell you, I think, Jim, this is marking now our longest episode ever. But this has been awesome, man.
I shut up.
This was absolutely amazing. I had such a blast. But I want you guys to let listeners know, where can they get anything that they need about Extinction AD? Where should they go? Talk about your upcoming EP. Let everyone know.
Well, we have signed to Unique Leader Records. We have the EP, Chaos, Collusion, Carnage, and Propaganda, coming out November 5th on compact disc. If you go to the uniqueleaderrecords.com website, you can find the pre-order for the CD. You can find all different types of bundles. We have a fucking flag as part of the bundles with the album artwork, which is just so, so rad. That was like a bucket list merch item for me for years and years and years. But we have t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, black shirts, white shirts. We have printed hats. We have all cool shit there. You can find us on social media everywhere at Extinction AD, Instagram, Twitter. Our YouTube channel is just youtube.com/ExtinctionAD. Facebook.com/ExtinctionAD. We have a merch store with Season of Mist, where we have some exclusive merch there, including the Gold Gym Extinction AD t-shirt and tank top, which is unbelievably ass-beating.
Wow.
Used koozies.
We have koozies for our next tour. We are not putting those on the internet, so you have to come see us. We're going to be on tour with Exhorter, Take Offense, and Plague Years from November 24th till December 19th, all across America. We're going to play a handful of shows on the way home with just us throughout the Midwest before Christmas happens. We have a playlist that we put up on Spotify every Wednesday called the XAD Jim Basher Playlist. You can discover brand new bands, both young and old, and, you know, possibly by old and, you know, legacy bands that you may or may not have ever checked out. We're posting about that on social media every week, pairing it with a workout. So if you like to work out, hang out with us for the week, listen to the playlist, follow our workout. If you don't, just blast it in your car and fucking speed and run red lights and throw Red Bulls at mailboxes and, you know, do all that cool shit.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, man. It was awesome.
Thanks for having us, man. I'm sorry if I just hogged the show. I drank a Midnight Cherry C4 2 hours ago, did two personal training sessions, and then ran up here to do this. So I'm caffeinated as hell right now.
It's a blast, man. Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for listening as well. Thank you to the members in the live chat on YouTube as well. Again, you can get archives for all of our shows and show notes at thrashreport.com. You can hit us up on social. You can find all of our social channels at thrashreport.com. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and send us an email at thethrashreport@gmail.com.
And I have a final thought. I can't give you guys any advice about music, but Tom, if you're going to tease Rick for being old, you need to stop bringing up Radio Shack.
Yep. Fair enough.
Fair enough. I think that was fair.
Thanks for coming on, guys. Oh my God, it's a wild world, whether you will, if I'm singing your blood.